This is my life, and I'm gonna live it the best way I can. I'ma push it to the limit. This is my life, my life, my life, my life. So I'ma keep grinding, I'ma keep hustling. As long as I'm alive, I'ma keep.
Hello, everyone. This is the Daniel Scott Podcast, and thank you for listening. Again, I am eternally grateful that you've chosen my podcast, even though you had the choice of many others. I am your host, Daniel Scott, and my podcasts are about entrepreneurship, business ownership, and people who are generally are successful in their industry. My guests are from all different types of backgrounds and from different industries. They are friends, they're family. They are everything and anything that is going to help move you in another direction or help you in the direction that you're going. My guest today is a very special person to me. She is not only a friend, but a family member. I have known her for many, many years, and I'm sure we have lots of fun stories that we're going to share with you tonight. Her title is
Vice President of Small Business Banking.
Yes, and she has been in this business for quite some time. Glenda Walker, welcome to my show.
Thank you, Daniel.
So, Glenda, what I like to do with the listeners is let them know about you first. So you're just going to give us a little bio of yourself and where you came from and how you kind of got to this point.
Sure. I am a Brooklyn native, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up there with my mom and dad and six siblings. I come from a very, very, very large family, also Northerners as well. I relocated to Georgia in 1997.
It just seems like 2000, right?
It seems like 2000, right. The year after the Olympics.
Oh, wow. So 97.
So 97, yes. The year after the Olympics. My niece's mother was here, and I was just sick and tired of New York. I was a single parent. My daughter was 4 years old at the time, and I said I wanted to change her life and raise her outside of the city. I picked Atlanta because I didn't want to go too south. Coming from Brooklyn.
I can understand.
This was already a culture shock, but I didn't want to even go, you know, more south, so I heard a lot of great things about Atlanta and what they were doing for Black people, the success story. So I said, okay, Atlanta it is. So in 1997, I moved down to Atlanta, and I love it. And I'm glad I made the choice. So right now, I'm the small business banking vice president for a large major corporation. And my banking career initially started out as a part-time teller.
Wow.
At one of the top three banks in the United States. Okay. So I started out as a part-time teller. I had no idea that I was going to end up where I am today in this industry. It was basically out of a need to have some finances to raise my daughter because I was a single parent. So part-time teller, moved down to Atlanta, worked at various banks as a teller, but got promoted really, really, really quickly to customer service rep. Did so well there, I was recommended for an assistant manager training program. Took the program, got promoted to assistant manager. 6 to 9 months later, got promoted to branch manager. So I'm like, wow, this is great. At the time, I did not have a degree. I didn't finish the degree. When I got pregnant with my daughter, I went to an HBCU. So, whoop. Didn't graduate, but, you know, I'm still claiming it because I was on the campus and in the dorm.
Shout them out. Who, what?
Virginia State University. Go okay. Trojans. So, I didn't finish school, but banking was an industry. Once I saw the first promotion, I was like, wow, they really reward you for hard work. So, I worked hard in the industry, and my career as a branch manager really shaped me for what I do today. So as a branch manager, my niche was working with business owners. So yes, we have regular consumers that come in and need a home equity line of credit or car loan or some money for the kids. But I always connected with the small business owner. So I'm going to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
In that time between relocating to Atlanta from New York and working in the bank, I quit and started my own business. So, you know, I think I'm a diva and a fashionista. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to open a clothing store.
I remember this.
Yes.
I remember this.
Clothing store was called DD Fashions. It was named after a good friend of mine that passed away.
Weren't we in college when you did this?
Probably.
Okay. Yes.
So if I remember, I opened the store in 99. To approximately 2001. So we probably didn't meet yet.
Okay.
So opened a small business, and I'm at this time, I think I'm around 23, 24. I think I'm the hot stuff. I'm a business owner. But woo, being a business owner is no easy task. Mm-hmm. So the business was around for 2 years. My mom was my business partner. We survived for 2 years, but we lost our anchor store. So we were in a strip mall. If you all know, Georgia or Atlanta is full of strip malls, especially in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So the store was in Smyrna in Cobb County, and the strip mall had a major grocer, yeah. A&P.
Oh, yeah.
Remember A&P from back in the day?
Yes.
Now, I was familiar with A&P.
We're showing our age now. Don't be mentioning these stores are no longer in existence.
Lord, it is what it is. So A&P, I was familiar with A&P because they were in New York. They were in Brooklyn. And that was one of the more nicer supermarkets to shop at. So when I saw this particular location, I said, oh, A&P is there. I know exactly who they are.
Right.
Let's sign a lease. Lo and behold, 3 months after we signed the lease, A&P goes bankrupt.
Wow.
So all of the additional people you had coming into that strip mall for the purpose of A&P were no longer coming.
Right.
Yes, we built some clientele, and this is a brick and mortar. This was way before online boutiques.
Right, right.
So we built our clientele. We had our faithful clients that would come in every week, but we weren't getting any new people coming into that strip mall because the huge supermarket was gone.
Right.
So we negotiated with the landlord. Oh, we're going to get somebody to fill that space. It was a lot of broken promises. And one by one by one, all of the small businesses were closing.
Wow. Wow.
One by one.
Wow.
So we couldn't make it. So as a business decision, we decided to close, and back to banking I go. So went back to banking, worked really hard, became a branch manager. And that really shaped my compassion and empathy for small business owners, because I know what's keeping them up at night. I know if you're not selling anything, you're not paying the bills. I was able to empathize with small business owners, regardless of industry.
Right.
So as a branch manager, I made sure I hit my goals 100%. I was managing two offices at the time. In Smyrna, and I knocked out all my business banking goals 100% for each location.
Wow.
I was burnt out, and I was telling my manager, look, something got to give. I need to do something different. And the bank created this role of a small business banker that targets small businesses up to $5 million in revenues.
Wow. Okay.
And got into that role, and here I am today.
Wow. So go back a little bit. At what point did you decide to go back to college? Because that's where we met.
Great. I skipped all over that. And that's real juicy stuff.
Yes, that's right. That's the good stuff.
So let's see. I think I was at SunTrust Bank, and I initially enrolled at the University of Phoenix.
Okay.
No. I enrolled at Shorter.
Right.
Shorter College. So I decided to say, look, although I was getting the promotions in banking, mm-hmm. I felt plateaued.
Right.
And I felt that I hit a glass ceiling. And then I wanted to get the degree. I disappointed my mom. And, you know, like things in life happen, but you move on.
Right.
So I said, look, I'm going to go back and get my bachelor's, and I'm giving this to my mother.
Right, right.
Okay. So enrolled in Shorter College. Shorter College is a local college here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's a private college, so the tuition is really, really expensive.
This we know.
Really, really this expensive.
Yep.
And I'm sitting in class one day, and everyone thinks that I'm mean because I just have a resting bitch face. You know that resting face where you're not mad, but
resting bitch face.
You're not happy. Yes. You're just like there.
Yes.
And then I've also been told, if you don't know me, you think I'm just the meanest thing in the world. So you don't know me. But long story short, I was sitting in the classroom.
We hit it off. I mean, I introduced myself to you because I said, okay, I know she ain't sitting here with some attitude. and I'm attracted to people with attitudes because I'm like, I'm going to turn their frown upside down type of mentality. And then, I mean, we just became instant friends.
We were in groups together. We were inseparable since then.
And that,
I don't know. I think he came over and said a joke and made me laugh and got that resting bitch face off, look off my face. He made a joke, but we were connected by and joined by the hips since then. And we also were the mouthpieces for the students.
I was about to say, I know that Dean. Look, whenever there was an issue or a conflict or something, here come Daniel and Glenda walking into the dean's office to have a conversation.
Advocating for the students.
That's right.
We always had something to say. If the students complained about it, we were like, well, raising our hand, we pay XYZ dollars per
That's
credit,
right.
and we demand better service.
That's right.
But school is a business.
That's right.
Those higher education places are a business, and we demanded the service. Well, because I felt I wasn't getting the service based on an incident that happened. Do you remember that incident?
I don't.
That made me leave?
I
think it was something with the security guard. And I don't remember.
I'm not surprised. I'm not a part of the alum just because of the new passing of these restrictions on the college and stuff. So I've I have completely and vowed myself from the alum altogether. I won't give them any more money until they change their policies. I mean, I understand that it is a Christian-based college, but I think, you know, we won't go into too much of that. But that's, I've just, you know, I got the degree on the wall from them, and that's about all I'll say about that.
Gotcha. Well, I left Daniel there, and I went to University of Phoenix.
Yes.
I hated to leave my friend, but I was not trying to hear the stuff that they were delivering at Shorter.
No, we were family at this point, so it was okay. I mean, and one thing I will say about Glenda is that I have always admired her tenacity and, you know, just if she set her mind to something, it was going to get done. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. There's no obstacles in this woman's life that she would see as a way it says, I cannot do. She'll figure out a way to get over it.
And Daniel is the same as well. Like, we were freaking frat.
Yes, we
were. we still are freaking frat, even though, you know, time is, you know, keeps us apart with our busy lives. But when we speak to each other, it's like, oh, we were just together at Shorter.
So her family has become my family. I will say that because you have a lot of entrepreneurs in your family.
I do.
So, you know, this is definitely in their wheelhouse as well. So it's in your blood. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this show is about, is just, you know, talking to people like yourself who have been through the grind, who know what the grind is and have something, you know, to relate to people who are trying to go through it.
Right.
And it's really important that we share these stories because, you know, every bit of information that we tell, even though we joke and laugh about it and stuff, but there might be something in there that people hear and take away and they say, okay, oh my gosh, that's my problem or that's my issue. And I just heard how she got over it. Let me try.
Right. Yep, great.
So,
great.
And so let's go on. Let's go on a little bit more. So you,
okay.
I stopped at a bachelor's degree, but my friend here continued to go.
I continued.
And she now has her master's.
I do.
In
business administration and international business.
So this lady here is got a couple degrees. Don't let her talk like she just got one.
Well, the first one was from my mother. And the second one was for me.
I am mad at you. So that puts you at where you're at today. And so let's say a business owner right now is looking to start a business or wants to start a business. And they're in the, you know, they're in the stages of funding. I want to know how to start a business and I want to go to a bank and get the funding. Is it realistic for someone who is just starting a business to go to a bank or is it not?
It depends. And it depends because of these reasons. So, because I was a business owner, I can speak from personal experience, and now I'm on the banking and lending side, and I can speak from the bank side. So I have a good wealth of experience on both sides and how it should look to a bank for a startup business. So when someone is considering to start up a business, I would say find out if that's right for you, because a business is not a 9-to-5 journey. You know, working a business is sometimes a 12, 15, 24-hour operation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, everybody's not cut out to be a business owner. So you really have to dig deep in yourself. And I know you guys may hear this often, but you really do. You got to come to some self-realization. Can I go without a paycheck?
This is facts.
Do I want my phone to stop ringing at 5? Do I want to be responsible for other people?
Right.
Do I want to be responsible for everything? Because that's what it, when you're a business owner, you're the business owner, you're the janitor, you're the customer service rep, you're the accounts payable person, you're everything. Even though you may hire somebody to do some things, it all still falls under you.
Right.
So when it comes to starting a business in banking, the first thing I ask the person is, tell me what your experience is in this industry that you want to open this business. That's one of the main things, because if you are a hairstylist for 20 years and you tell me, Glenda, I want to open a restaurant. I'm like, okay, I can cook. Okay, tell me about your restaurant industry experience. I've never worked in a restaurant a day in my life. I'm probably not going to want to even hear the rest of your story.
Right.
So tie it into something you have experience doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have experience in that industry, but cooking is your passion, it's something you're great at, maybe go get a part-time job in a restaurant.
Right.
In the kitchen.
Right.
Not as a server.
Right.
In the kitchen. Well, actually, you want to do all jobs, because if you're going to own a restaurant, you need to know how to do every job in there.
That's
right. When I was a branch manager and my tellers called out, I was running a teller box.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
So first, go and get a part-time job, even if it's only on the weekends or something, mm-hmm. because you have to show me that you know this industry.
Right.
Not just that you can cook. There are a lot of good cooks out here. I can cook.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to show me that you have some experience in this industry. Now, if you have been working in a restaurant as a head chef for 20 years, 10 years, 8 years, and you come and say, I want to open my own restaurant, I'm going to listen to you.
Right.
Because I know you've been in that space.
Yeah.
You've been in that industry and you have some type of experience.
Right.
So look for something you have experience in, and if you don't, get some experience in it at least for 2 or 3 years.
It's kind of what I've been saying. And also what's really important here too is that she's going to look for, and something I've mentioned in my previous podcast, is that living document, that business plan.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That thing is always changing and evolving. And
exactly.
I mean, I'm telling you people, go online, download a free business plan outline. They're free all over the place, and just start figuring it out. Putting in all the information you know, and then the information you don't know, then you seek out sources to get that information. But she's going to want to see a business plan before she doles out any money. And even as, you know, you've known, I've invested in several businesses,
mm-hmm.
And been a part of several businesses since we've known each other. And when people approach me to help them start a business or help them start their business, the first thing I'm doing is asking for the business plan. And if they haven't got a business plan, then I tell them, that's the first thing we're working on is a business plan.
Right. So after I determine, we talk and, you know, you have experience in the industry and I want to hear more about it, that's when I ask for the business plan.
Yeah.
So first I want to know what industry you're going in and what your experience is. And then, have you started a business plan? So Daniel, you're right. We look at business plans. I pay attention to the executive summary, because that, again, tells me what your experience is and what your plans are for the business.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really important to the bankers are the projections.
Ah, okay.
Because remember, we're money. We're looking at how much money this business can make, and can it pay my loan back.
Right.
So that's really important. So experience and projections.
Right, right. Okay.
Your marketing plan and things like that, that's more for you to know who your target is going to be. But that it will translate to your projections. Because in your marketing plan, if you pick the location and the average income is, say, $60,000 to $75,000, and you're selling a niche product or something like that that is not a necessity, is a need. Same thing.
Right. Yeah. Listen, I film these late in the evening.
Right. I'm like,
listeners, forgive us as we, you know, struggle for words because we have worked long days and then.
So as you build that marketing plan, you find out what your niche market is, what their average income is. That will translate to your projections because you're gonna want to capture a percentage of that. Those people in that market that you're covering.
Right.
So projections need to be very conservative. So Daniel mentioned finding a business plan template online. That is great. But there are plenty of free resources out here for small business owners. Score, but my favorite one is the SBDC, and that's the Small Business Development Center. Oh, every state has them. Georgia has multiple offices in at Kennesaw State University, they have an office. They have an office at Georgia State. They have one in Athens. They are all over, but they will provide you a template that the SBA likes to use. And again, it's just a template. It can be tweaked, but they will also give you access to research industry.
Right.
They will give you access to a counselor that has knowledge of the industry and was a business owner before. And this is all free.
Right. That's what I preach all the time. It's like there's so many resources out there. There's no reason why you should be struggling to do this on your own when there are people out there who can assist. And, you know, it's funny because the one thing I mentioned in my very first introduction to me podcast was I always say I chose career and money over family. And so, you know, the risk that I took could be riskier because I didn't have anybody look out for myself. Right. So if I ended up sleeping in a cardboard box behind Kroger, I would just be worried about me, you know? So you as a single mom at the time.
No, you got a room at my house. The going gets tough.
But you as a single mom, you know, that you're taking those risks when you had another mouth to feed.
Right.
So, you know, that was even more courageous to step into the entrepreneurship world, knowing that, you know, hey, even though you have a lot of family here.
I had a lot of family support. So yeah. My family support, I couldn't ask for a better family. So my family support was there. I planned well. So I had some money in reserves to pay my personal bills while I was trying to build the business.
Right.
And that's one thing that's also important. So as a banker and a lender, I'm looking at, are you keeping your day job or are you quitting totally and running the business? Now that is a catch-22 because the pro about keeping your day job is that you're able to pay for your own personal expenses without taking any money out the business.
Right.
So when you quit that day job, everything the business is making has to fund the startup cost of the business, building your clientele, and your personal bills. It puts a real strain on the financials for the business for the first couple of years.
Right.
But then some lenders will say, well, nobody runs their business like themselves. So if you're going to keep your day job, who's going to run your business?
All right. That makes sense.
So there's no right or wrong answer. If for some reason if you don't keep your job, have some cash reserve to cover your personal bills, at least for 1 year.
Yeah.
Because that first year is tough. That first year is going to make or break you. It's going to kick your butt.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's going to be a lot of sleepless nights.
A lot of sleepless nights. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster. You're going to think you're bipolar. I mean, you're going to snap at people. You're going to be smiling one day, crying the next day. Yeah. It is very emotional, but it can be very rewarding.
Absolutely.
So really take your time. Starting a business is not a decision that you should make overnight and just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to start a business.
Right.
Nah, it doesn't work that way. That's you need to really do your research, really vet your ideas, and maybe kind of not vet them to family.
Because family could be very supportive or unsupportive. It could go. There's two sides of that sword.
Yeah, some family could kill your dreams, but you got to know who to share with. And some friends could kill your dreams.
That's true.
You have to know in your circle of people who you can share and bounce ideas off. If you don't have that person in your circle.
Right, and someone who's going to be real.
Think about this. Actually, no idea Daniel has is bad. Let me tell you that much. No idea he has is bad, but every idea takes a lot of planning before you even get to the execution part. So do your research, sign up with the Small Business Development Center, score, go onto the SBA's website. That's the Small Business Administration. Because more than likely, because you're a startup, you're going to have to get a small business loan, SBA loan.
Yeah. Unless you got friends or an angel investor or you've saved a little money, something like that.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So now that we've done the where you're at and the where you were, let's do the where you're going. So I know you're happy with where you're at right now and what you're doing, but do you see yourself in 10 years being in this that realm or do you see yourself doing something different?
So in 10 years, in a perfect world, I see myself consulting small businesses outside of a major corporation. So working for myself again.
Okay.
And really, really helping small businesses get to the next level. Now, we talked a lot about startups, but you have some mature existing businesses that appear to do well, but as a banker, when I get their financials on paper, they're not doing well.
Right.
So I want to be there to help those businesses it correlate from what everybody sees them as doing to what they're actually doing on paper. There's a huge disconnect.
Okay.
Some very, 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 very popular businesses here in Atlanta, again, appear to be doing well, have great social media presence, great sales, great clients. But when you get their financials, oh my goodness. I just don't understand sometimes.
Right.
And what you show on paper shows the success of your business.
Right. That's right.
So if you're writing off things for years and years and years and showing losses because you want to reduce your tax liability, you look like an insolvent business.
Yeah.
Because if you come to me to borrow money and I see losses for 3, 5, 7 years, you're an insolvent business. You're not making money to me.
Right.
I see you making money, but on paper, you're not.
That's right.
So I want to, in 10 years, I want to be there to be a resource and consult clients on making those two things come together.
Okay. That's what's up. And that's something we probably need to talk about because we're on that same path.
Absolutely.
Well, I am going to wrap the show up, and I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this very useful knowledge and your story, of course.
Thank you for having me.
And do you want to do any social media shout out or LinkedIn shout outs or anything like that? You don't have to. You don't have to. No pressure.
No.
That's okay. Well, you guys know you can find me on Instagram, P_DanielGA.
Just ask Daniel, where's Glenda?
That's right. You can always email me at psdanielga@icloud.com. And if you have a question for Glenda, you can email me and I'll get it over to her. And then I'll get back with you with the answer. How's that work?
That works.
Okay, good. And you can find me also on LinkedIn, the Daniel Scott. So anyway, I thank you, appreciate you listening, and I love you all as always. Until the next episode, remember there's a new guest every Tuesday. If there's anyone in any particular industry you would like me to talk to or get on the show, then please email me and I will try to do that. Otherwise, I will just be picking the guest and I'll be picking someone from a different industry each week. And remember, be inspired and then inspire someone.
The best way I can, I'm gonna push it to the limit. This is my life, my life, my life, my life. So I'm gonna keep grinding, I'm gonna keep hustling as long as